Today on the Travel Guys.
In the travel news, American Airlines removed 8 passengers from a plane because of a complaint. Then it put the 8 passengers back on the plane. All the passengers are black men. Now American Airlines is facing a lawsuit. Plus, Southwest Airlines is upping the ante on early boarding. Those stories next to the travel news.
In our Smarter Traveler segment at 11:25, we remind you of the benefits of booking your room directly from the hotel, the cruiser airline, or using a trusted travel advisor rather than a third-party online company. There's some solid reasoning here. Mark will explain.
We share a warning update on some creative new junk fees for travelers and diners and tell you why so many people are choosing cruise vacations post-COVID at 11:35.
Finally, we have a piece of tongue-in-cheek humor. It's from a hotel responding to a guest who thinks that they've come up a little short. Our sarcastic attempt at fun coming up at 11:50.
Wow, this show has everything. Comedy, junk fees, men kicked off a plane. What else could you wish for in a radio program? Welcome to the Travel Guys.
All of it brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Thanks for being here, and going to be another warm one today. It's starting to feel a lot like summer. Good to see you, Mark. How you been? What's going on?
I'm in town. I'm still basking in the glory of a visit to Newfoundland about a week and a half ago, so that's a lot of fun. Chicago is next for me. The Giants and the Cubbies will be playing there in a couple weeks, and I will be parked, my rear end will be parked in the grandstand with some Sports Leisure Travelers watching a few ball games there. So the Giants are playing a little better lately. Ran into the Yankees last night. Hey, speaking of the Giants and the Yankees, I have a group taking a motor coach to the game tomorrow. 42 Sports Leisure Travelers going down to the ball game. Great way to go to the game if you want to go to Giants games or the last A's game ever at the Coliseum at the end of the year. You can check out sportsleisure.com. The reason I bring this up is because I just got a notice from the Giants this morning that says they're going to be repaving 2 lanes of the Bay Bridge tomorrow. And so if you are going into the city tomorrow morning, whether you're going to the ball game or you're just going somewhere else, know that 2 lanes are going to be shut down for part of the bridge and 1 lane for the second half of it. So getting into the city tomorrow morning might be just a little more difficult than usual. So if you're going to the ball game or you're just going to the city for an enjoyable day or for something else, make sure you allow yourself plenty of time.
So with that being said, you have regular, experienced bus drivers that take your folks into the city. Uh-huh. Do you leave it up to them? They going to tell you what they're going to do? Are they going to make any changes, maybe take an alternate route or what?
Well, we look at that in the morning. You'll have to see. We regularly leave when we're taking a group of people someplace, especially for a timed event. We regularly leave ourselves a little bit of a cushion because it's way better to sit in the parking lot for 30 minutes than it is to miss the first 3 innings of the ballgame or the first act of the play. So that's something you can't get back. So when we go, we always allow a little bit of extra time for something like this. And if you're on the front end of traffic, if you're trying to get to the ballgame and get over the bridge at 12 o'clock for a 1 o'clock start, I'm going to suggest you might have some problems. But if you're trying to get over the bridge at 10 o'clock or 10:30, you probably won't have as many problems. So go a little earlier and go to your favorite spot in the city or pick out a Starbucks or something like that and have a cup of coffee and go to the ballpark or wherever it is that you're going a little bit earlier, or maybe you're going to San Francisco to catch a flight, and that might be kind of important. Anyways, not only travel tips, but traffic tips here on the Travel Guys.
Yeah, well, you know, travel and road conditions and all of that is pretty important when it comes to travel. Many, many years ago when the Giants still were at the stick and I was working in the city at a KNBR sports station, they gave me, here, Tom, here's a couple of tickets to one of the end of the season games. Uh-huh. So we decided to go to the game. We hit traffic that was so bad. We listened to the first 7 innings in the car on the way to the game. We got there for the last 3 innings, and since it was the end of the season, none of the Giants stars were playing. But we had a nice drive, let's just say that. Okay, a lot of stuff going on in the travel news, people getting kicked off of planes and stuff, so let's get to it. At the top of every Travel Guys radio show, we bring you up to date on the travel news. News, here's Mark Hoffman.
Well, and we often like to report here, you know, warnings about things and things that are happening that, that you might run into on the road or something. This is a kind of an alarming story that heads up the news today. This is reported by CBS News and by Ben Schlopik at One Mile at a Time. This is, involves an American Airlines flight. That this incident occurred in January of 2024. It was a flight from Phoenix to New York's JFK Airport. And a lawsuit has been filed by three black men alleging racial discrimination. Apparently what happened, shortly after boarding, eight black men were all asked to get off the aircraft. They weren't initially given an explanation as to why. The three passengers filing the lawsuit didn't know each other. And the other passengers did not either. The only thing they had in common was the color of their skin. For that matter, all the black passengers that they saw were removed from the plane. No one of any other race was. These were the only eight black people on the aircraft. So this starts to kind of take on a funny look. Once off the plane, the men were told that one of the flight attendants complained about the body odor of an unidentified passenger, which somehow caused all of these passengers to be removed. There's even video footage of a man asking the gate agent if he was removed from the plane because of the color of his skin, and she responded correct. Now, I haven't seen the video. I'm just reading two news reports from a number of different places. I've picked the two that I thought were the most informative and seemed to be the most spot on. But I suspect there are pieces of information here that we may not have yet. So, but what it appears is, though, that American Airlines removed eight men of color off of a flight because of a complaint about body odor. After about an hour's delay, they put the men back on the flight. Now, imagine how that would feel if you were taken off. Everybody on the plane saw who got off, and now you're allowed back on the plane. These people have been sitting there all this time waiting to take off and make a long flight to New York City. So you're getting back on. Imagine how that must have felt. To have to look at all those people who are all wondering what in the world is going on, and
no,
why did
you
people? Yeah, it's just not good at all. They were initially told they would be rebooked on another flight. However, apparently, no other flights were available, so they decided to board them back onto the aircraft. I will watch this story and see if we can figure out. Obviously, as I said, there's a piece of information here. Either that or somebody involved from the American Airlines team did something that you could only loosely describe as racist. American Airlines statement says, "We take all claims of discrimination very seriously and want our customers to have a positive experience when they choose to fly with us. Our teams are currently investigating the matter as the claims do not reflect our core values or our purpose of caring for people." God, I hope so. So we'll keep an eye on it and see what happens.
Yeah, I think a lot of there's going to be some people that are going to lose their jobs. There'll be the not necessarily what you would call the scapegoats, but they're going to be the ones that that were responsible, and they're going to pay for it.
Well, somebody at the gate or somebody whom the gate agent called, some person of authority who made the decision. I'm guessing a gate agent didn't make this decision. That there had to be some sort of supervisor in charge here, but somebody decided to take these guys off the airplane because I'm guessing they had a complaint. Somebody said, well, I think it was that black guy there, and they couldn't decide which black guy it was, so they took them all off the aircraft. Now imagine, if you would, for just a second, if this had happened and these were eight white people who were taken off of the aircraft, and they were the only white people on a plane in an international country or something like that. I mean, flip this for a second, and I think that makes it a little easier to understand how strange and how demeaning that it must have been to these passengers who didn't know. Remember, these people don't know each other. They have no idea until they're taken off, told to get your stuff and come off the plane as to what is going on until they get off the plane and someone finally explains to them what's happening. So I can sort of see. My only question is, why are there only three names on the lawsuit instead of eight? But anyway, perhaps we'll learn more about this as time goes on. All right, let's get on with the news here. Here's something that is probably going to be of interest to a lot of our listeners. Southwest Airlines has decided that they don't sell first class, they don't sell economy plus, but what they do sell is the chance to get on the plane a little bit earlier, and apparently people are willing to pay for that, so Southwest is upping the ante. I'm not going to explain to you here all of the order of which Southwest people get on the aircraft that they've sent out in this press release. I will just tell you that the first 15 boarding positions are for people who purchase business select fares. Mm-hmm. After that comes Southwest frequent flyers. So if all those 15 business select fares aren't sold, at the gate you can buy, or on the premises the day of flight, you can buy one of those spaces for a premium. After that, you can buy in advance what's called an early boarding. They will check you in.
Early bird boarding, yeah.
Yeah. After this business select and the other people, sometimes an early bird boarding can still be in the very high A numbers. So if you are a person who regularly purchase upgraded boarding on Southwest, I have bad news for you, because they're going to charge more money for it. The good news might be that it may be available more often. It costs between $30 and $149 a passenger per segment now. It previously was between $30 and $80. So on the high end, a significant increase. My guess is if you're boarding a flight to Hawaii, you're going to be hit with that higher charge. And the longer the flight, obviously, the more chance that you're gonna pay up. Okay. Yes, sir.
Well, you know, back to we talked about this a long time ago. You're a couple. You want early boarding. Mm-hmm. One purse, you buy one early boarding pass.
Yep.
You go sit down. You throw your purse or whatever in the seat, and this is for my wife. Mm-hmm. And you pay one early boarding, and two people get to sit. As of right now, as far as I know, Southwest doesn't come along and say, "Hey, wait a minute. You didn't pay for two early boardings. That your person sitting next to you, they're not allowed to sit there." Are they going to, at this point, since they're jacking up the prices and people are more likely going to want to try to pull that one, what do you expect is going to happen?
Southwest employees will tell you on the down low that, I mean, I've talked to two different gate agents. Admittedly, it's been about a year since the second time we talked about this, but they, off the record, they will just tell you that, hey, what you do on the airplane is your business, but if somebody comes along and wants that seat, then you have to give it up. If I'm getting on the aircraft and you've got an aisle seat and you've got a coat in the window seat and the middle seat is empty and all the other window seats on the plane are gone and all that's left is middle seats, then you need to move the jacket because that's where I'm going to sit. I'm really
No saving seats. No saving seats.
No. I mean, as a courtesy, I will allow you to save a seat as long as there are adequate seats available on the aircraft for what I want. But, you mm-hmm. know, dude, I mean, come on. I'm on the plane, and it's open seating, so your wife can sit in the middle seat next to you instead of in the window. What often happens is that people get on, and they stake out the window in the aisle, and they leave the middle seat open. I do this myself when I'm traveling with somebody. And then somebody comes along and asks to sit in the middle, and then at that point you say, well, would you prefer to have the window or the aisle, and you slide over next to the person that you're traveling with. That's a fairly common hack among mm-hmm. folks who fly with Southwest. And it is very common for people to say, hey, I'm saving that seat. And again, that's fine. If other passengers allow you to save the seat, I will suggest to you that's a courtesy that's been bestowed upon you by your fellow passengers. They have said, okay, that's fine, we'll allow that. That's not a big deal to me. But when we're now out of aisle or window seats and all there is are middle seats left and you've got a seat you're saving, then that person should have paid to get on the plane earlier. That's where I'm going to sit. So
okay,
that's
well,
just my
there's your opinion.
Just one man's opinion, so one's to speak. Opinion.
Well, this man's opinion is that Southwest is it's going to jacking up the prices for early boarding is going to make people want to do just buy one.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I couldn't agree with you more, but don't you think most of those people are just buying one already?
Maybe so. But, you know, it used to be $15 or something, $20 to get early boarding, but not so much.
Yeah, it was. When it first came out, you're right, it was between $10 and $20 to board early. Of course, they didn't have flights to Hawaii then and
true.
Things like that. So, you know, I mean, a little extra. And as we've talked about on this show, the fact of the matter is that Southwest seats have an inch more between them than any other major carrier, and several inches more than Frontier or Spirit if you fly on those airlines, which I would not. Skunk Train up in Mendocino County, we talk about this on a show from time to time. They made the top 10 in USA Today's Reader's Choice Awards for Best Scenic Train Rides. So congratulations to the people who run the Skunk Train, either out of the short trip out of Fort Bragg or the trip out of Willits. I'm taking some people up to do that next month. So they have been named one of the 10 most scenic train rides in the United States. And I would have to say that that's probably spot on. The ride, the short ride on the Fort Bragg coast or the ride up out of Willits, I do the Willits ride before it gets too hot in the summer or do it in the fall. Anyways, here's a Travelers United survey says, do you feel the U.S. requirements to tip service workers has gone overboard? Answers, 33% says it seems we pay enough without having to tip. That's one out of three. 16% say no, tipping is a good way to reward good service. That's one out of six. Half of the people say yes, but maybe service workers should be paid a living wage. So I would be in that 51%. Then they wouldn't have to depend so much on tips, and we wouldn't be arguing about it so much. And as we're going to talk about a little bit later on in the program, some restaurants are starting to come up with some really creative ways to add surcharges to your bills. We'll talk about that a little bit later on. And finally here, at the end of the news, this is from a credit card company, says that teamed up with a company called Talker Research, asked 1,000 people about their travel plans for this summer. Americans plan to take 2.5 vacations this year. I'm not sure how you take half a vacation, but on the average, 2.5. Mm-hmm. Average vacation costs $1,742.90. Not sure what you get for 90 cents, but a little under $2,000. 30% of Americans plan to travel internationally in 2024. Important to note that includes Canada and Mexico are included in that international count. Beaches top the list of desired vacation destinations, with 62% of Americans saying they target beaches when planning vacations. To help defray the expense, 53% of Americans have used or plan to use their rewards from credit card or loyalty programs to reduce their out-of-pocket costs for airfare and hotel expenses. I will point out to you that this survey was done by a credit card company, so I'm sure the fact that they threw in that question about 53% of Americans have used or plan to use the rewards from credit card reward or loyalty programs. The only problem with that is that you may plan to use them, but wait till you get there and find out that your points don't buy what they bought the last time you checked it out a year ago. So you may be planning to use your points, but you may be doing something else once you get there. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is your travel news for today.
And we are the Travel Guys. Remember us at TravelGuysRadio.com. You were mentioning restaurants with all kinds of weird fees that they charge. That doesn't happen at our friends at Rudy's Hideaway and Lobster House. I went and had the Travel Guy special last night, Mark. It was fabulous. You know, I've discovered that lobster is one of those things that doesn't give me indigestion. So I might have to eat it more often. By the way, if you're looking for a restaurant that still does the good old-fashioned full-course meal, you can find that at Rudy's Hideaway. Not only the Rudy's Hideaway Travel Guy special for $29.95, but they also serve king crab, got salmon, halibut. One of my favorites is their prawns sautéed. Just all kinds of great food, and their soups and salads and potatoes and fresh San Francisco sourdough bread is to die for. So if you're looking for a good place, very comfortable atmosphere, really nice people, you tell them Mark and Tom, the Travel Guys sent you, okay? Once again, Rudy's Hideaway, easy to find, open 7 nights a week. Lunch every Tuesday through Friday, and that's at right off of Highway 50 in Hazel. Travel Guys babbled on too long in that first segment, Mark, so let's get started here. Let's talk about booking.
Booking
benefits.
Third-party booking. Hey, quickly, we need to tell people, American Airlines was doing this BS thing where you could only get your miles if you booked through selected agents and stuff like that. The guy who came up with that idea quit last week, and very quickly the airline said, we're not going to do that. So if you collect American Airlines Advantage miles, you can still book wherever you want and still get those miles. However, one other thing we might mention is that when you don't book directly with the airline you're flying on, with the company that's providing the zip line, if you don't book with Hilton Hotels and you're staying in a Hilton hotel, if you don't book with Hertz Rental Car when you're getting a Hertz Rental Car, you're taking some risks. You're gambling that that third-party online booking agency, Cheapo Air or TripAdvisor or whoever it is has a customer service system in place that will help you when the proverbial poop hits the fan. If your flight gets canceled or you get to the hotel and it's oversold or there is no car for you, who's going to stand for you? Is it you really think that an online travel company that answers their phones with a bot or doesn't answer them at all or says, hey, chat with us, and you're sitting there chatting to another bot, you really think that that's going to be the solution? So be really careful when you decide to book through a third party, because just know that I'm not pointing the finger at anybody. I'm just telling you that these online booking companies don't have the same customer service set up, and that if United canceled your flight and you booked with booking.com and United says, I'm sorry, you're going to have to talk to them, and you say, but they won't answer their phone, United's going to say, well, I'm sorry, you should have booked with us. So I'm just telling you that all things being equal or reasonably close to equal, consider that customer service quotient and consider the possibility of booking directly with the people you're doing business with.
Good advice. We've mentioned this many times on the show and have told some real horror stories of people who either their hotel wasn't there, didn't exist. Well, yeah, we could go on and on. It's Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano here every Saturday between 11 and noon. It's getting to the point, Mark, where more of us broadcasters that do these kind of shows have kind of abandoned traditional broadcast, and they primary place that you find them is on podcasts. And you know, I don't know what to think of all of that. It's pretty wild.
I feel like we have the I feel like we have the best of both worlds, because I love the fact that we're able to do a live program each week. It sounds more timely and more updated to me. It feels more updated than just sitting down and doing a podcast, and then it becomes a podcast without the news and the commercials and stuff. So it's a little over 40 minutes, 45 minutes, something like that. So I sort of feel like we have the best of both worlds.
I have to agree. By the way, next week on the Travel Guys, we're going to do a mailbag segment. And we get our questions for the mailbag from you, our listeners, who can go to travelguysradio.com. And right there on the homepage, there is a place where you can put in your question. And we'll pull it and read it on the air and give you an answer. And if we can't do that, Mark will answer it himself personally. All right, let's move on here.
We have a story that we've been following for a couple of months here, Tom, about Uber and Lyft maybe pulling out of Minneapolis.
Mm-hmm.
That there, that the
I do.
The city council there decided that in March that drivers needed to be able to make at least equivalent of the state minimum wage, and which was a lot higher than Uber and Lyft were paying. And Uber and Lyft said, "Well, then we'll just leave." And I suspected that at some point somebody would blink. And I don't know, I can't tell from my update here who blinked first, but last week the governor of the state of Minnesota signed a bill into law that represents about a 20% increase for what Uber and Lyft drivers are currently getting, and about 10% less than what the Minneapolis City Council had decided that they should get. So in essence, they compromised. The compromise, I would, just looking at it, is a little bit more in the driver's favor than the ride-sharing company's favor. So they are staying. This happened as of 3 days ago. This is important to more than just people in Minneapolis, though, because this is the first big city to say, wait a minute, you have to pay these people minimum wage. What they're reasonably making has to amount to minimum wage. And Uber and Lyft drivers are saying in some cases that's not what's happening. So what Minneapolis, what Minnesota has now done is said, all right, well, maybe life is not perfect, but we're going to raise this standard a little bit here. I'm guessing that's going to mean higher fares. But like the burger you're buying on the street in California, if you want the person serving it to you not to be getting food stamps at the end of the day, then you may have to pay a little more for the burger. You may have to pay a little more for the ride. It's the people on the top helping to pull the people up from the bottom a little bit. I mean, maybe that sounds a little bit political, but that is how I feel about it. So I'm glad that they worked it out and that ride sharing didn't have to come to a halt or other companies didn't have to spring up in Minneapolis to take care of this. I suspect this will become a model for all over the country, and I suspect because of what the Minneapolis City Council did that Uber and Lyft drivers in a lot of places are going to make more money than they were making before.
All right. You know, we did this a long time ago when Uber and Lyft and ride-sharing programs first started up. We talked to some of the people who were employed and asked them how it was going, what it was like. We did some follow-up on that. It might not be a bad idea to check in. I know whenever I have the opportunity when I'm on a ride share to visit with a driver and ask them how their job is and, you know, and how thing if they're happy with it. Generally speaking, yeah, they're more than willing to tell you without asking.
Yeah, exactly.
But here again, you know, they survive like a lot of people in services. They get tips, you know, and it's your responsibility as someone who, in this particular case, who's being shuttled around to consider the value of your tip, realizing that that it goes to them. And if their minimum is really bad, then they're going to have to rely on those tips to make up the balance.
But Uber's stock is 3 times what it was a couple of years ago. And so obviously they have put Lyft has not gone up that much, but it's doing better than it was. So it's obvious that they have decided that the people who have invested in the company and helped it get this far need to be reckoned with. And this has come perhaps at a cost to the people who work for the company. So what's happening now is that the, at least in Minneapolis, is the city council grabbed that chain and jerked it back the other direction and said, look, if these people are going to provide these services to you, they at least should be paid a reasonable minimum expectation of a salary. I don't know about you, but I find that in cities that still have taxis, D.C., I was in the last couple of months, Chicago still has taxis, the taxis are a lot cleaner and the service is a lot better since Uber and Lyft showed up on the scene. So these guys,
I agree.
If they don't come up to us, and in some cases, in some cities, Uber or Lyft runs the taxi company. So, you know, it has, and also my experience has been, I mean, Uber and Lyft is not cheap, but my experience has been the drivers are generally pretty good. The cars are clean. You know, they get you there when they say they're going to get you there. The drivers are good drivers. They're safe. They know you're rating them every time that they take a ride out, and they, you know, so, and I didn't know this, but the drivers actually get an opportunity to be able to turn down rides. If, you know, they can see how much the ride will be worth to them. And if they decide, you know, to pass, why, then they can. It moves on to the next person. Eventually, somebody will take it.
Yeah,
okay,
seen that.
Let's move on here. If it seems like everyone you know is going on a cruise, it's probably because everyone you know is going on a cruise. Cruises have exploded in popularity up until this is. Some of this was brought on, was moved along faster by COVID, but this trend started before COVID. In the early teens, 20-teens, they started seeing an influx of folks in their 40s and 50s coming into the... Traditionally, cruises had been for more seasoned travelers. And less seasoned travelers were starting to buy them because cruise companies were starting to create itineraries that had adventure aspects and components to them on their land excursions and the like. And so if it seems like everybody you know is going on a cruise, the cruise industry is saying that last year they welcomed 7% more people on board than in 2019, which was the last pre-COVID year. They expect that number to go up another 10% this year and next year. So that's a lot more people on the seas. It's a lot more. It's more ships. Things you want to look for when you're looking at a cruise itinerary is how big is the ship? How long is it staying in a port? How many ports of call are there? Remember, if you decide not to buy the stuff that they sell you on board the cruise ship, which is going to be more expensive, it's a markup because they're adding a markup to it. But if you decide to do independent shore excursions, remember these stories of people who have been left on the dock when the ship pulled away. So at least consider that. The cruise industry is working really hard to launch new ships and experiences that are attractive to younger and newer demographics. In January, Royal Caribbean launched Icon of the Seas, which is currently the world's largest cruise ship, 20 decks, 40 restaurants. 40 restaurants.
You see the ads for the cruise ships these days, and it may be the one that you just mentioned, and you can see who they are targeting. These cruise ships look like major theme parks, not to mention that they have 400 restaurants, and you know it's crazy.
Yeah,
but, they're after everyone's money. They're trying to find a whole new form of entertainment for families, and it looks like they're doing a pretty good job.
Well, and also cruising is somewhat inclusive, so except for the shore excursions and the add-on activities that you do, or the spur of the moment things that you do while the ship is sailing, somebody else takes care of it. You get yourself to the ship. And now you're on for 3 days, a week, a month, a year, where however it is that you're on the ship. And most of, you know, your cabin is cleaned and your food is ready and all of those things. And some people who have worked most or all of their lives are really up for that. And some people, I've referred to this on the air before, but the attitude that some people are starting to say, gee, it's great to work hard all your life and save your money, so when you're older, you can go places and do things. Just don't wait until you're too much older, because then your ability to go and do those things, or if fate is not kind to you, you may find yourself in a situation where you can't go and do all of those things. So maybe taking advantage and having a few of those experiences along the way might be a better approach. And I think that's what you're seeing now post-COVID, is you're seeing the 50-somethings and the 60-somethings and even the 40, 30 and 40-somethings saying, you know, I'm not going to wait till I'm grandma's age to do this. I'm going to do some of it now. And so I understand. I get it. Most of my clients are older people, but I can certainly see the trend when I'm traveling. Younger people are looking for a bigger variety of experiences. All right, let's talk a little bit about surcharges here. It seems like an ongoing topic on this program. Chris Elliott had an article last week about how restaurants are getting a little bit more creative in there. Here is a restaurant that charged a beef surcharge. Keep in mind, this was a steakhouse. I'm not going to give you the name of the restaurant. When the gentleman questioned the charge and said, but I'm not eating beef, I chose a non-beef dish, the restaurant said, the surcharge is for everybody. So the guy went into a restaurant and paid a name restaurant, I will tell you that much, and went in and paid a beef surcharge for beef that he didn't buy.
He had chicken.
Yeah, exactly. There are, in some cases, when you stand up to some of these charges, they will take them off. But in some cases, the boss has said, you know, it doesn't come off no matter what. And so all you can do is write something online and just go back and not patronize that business again.
Now, if it was a restaurant you're not familiar with, you know, the ones that you go frequent all the time, you know what their surcharges might be. Are you supposed to ask for the surcharge list so you'll know what you're being charged?
Boy, I mean,
it's almost to that point. I mean, I've never been in your restaurant before. Do you have surcharges? Let me see.
Well, you know, that's not a completely, it sounds a little weird and bizarre, but that's not a completely weird and bizarre thing to ask.
I will try that. I have a short destination out of town thing, and off to Vegas again. You know me, Mark, and I'm going to do that. We're going to probably dine at a really, really nice restaurant. My sister-in-law's 70th birthday, and while we're there, I will embarrass both of my wife and my sister-in-law by asking that.
They must love
maybe
going.
Not.
They may love going. Us going places with you since you've become a travel guy. Anyways, what we're talking about here, those of you who dine in San Francisco, Chris's article also talks about employee benefit fees and things like that. Those, of course, in California, by law, have to go away the 1st of July. So we'll see what creativity the restaurant industry comes up to try to create some of these other things. But if you're charged a junk fee when you get out there that you didn't know about or they didn't recently tell you about, don't go BS crazy. Just go and say, you know, look, I didn't know about this. I wasn't informed about this. I might not have chosen to do business with you if I had been aware of it. I'd appreciate it if you would remove it. if they remove it, then I'm going to guess there's a pretty good chance that you'll give them your business the next time. If they don't, I'm going to guess there's a pretty good chance that you won't. But God, these fees and stuff like this, doesn't it feel like whack-a-mole? Every time we get a law or something, we beat one down, somebody else comes up with another one.
Yep.
All right.
Great description.
All right. A couple of quick stories here, and then we've got something funny after the last break. At least I hope you'll think it's funny. We were talking earlier about a very serious story at the top of the program about eight black men getting kicked off of an American Airlines flight that was getting ready to leave from Phoenix. This is another kicked off the plane story. This has a little bit different twist to it. Headline says an airline kicked a family off the plane after they made their own no peanut announcement when the crew refused to. This was on an international domestic flight in Great Britain. And basically this family got on board and said, hey, you know, our daughter has a severe peanut allergy. She can go into shock if she reacts to it. And the airline said, no, we don't make those kinds of announcements. I always thought that every airline did it. They didn't have any way to enforce it. But it turns out that that's not the case. Only the incident highlights the amount of planning frequent flyers with allergies need to undertake, with only a handful of major airlines, including British Airways, Air Canada, Southwest, Delta, and JetBlue, making accommodations like this a standard part of their policies. At many other airlines, they will refuse. Passengers of Lufthansa and United have described unpleasant encounters over the issue, saying that they're not going to make an announcement like that. So if you have an allergy of that type, in this case, the family went ahead and made their own announcement. I guess they made a really big deal of it, went up and down the airplane, yelling at people because they didn't have a PA system, what their daughter's situation was. And so the airline, I'm not surprised, kicked them off the aircraft. There probably was maybe a better way to do that. I hate to say to somebody, you've got a family member who has a peanut allergy, you can't fly, but it does appear that this is something that you cannot take for granted. If you have somebody in your traveling party that has this issue, you can't take for granted that an airline is going to automatically make an announcement for you that's going to tell people not to be eating those things. Heck, some airlines serve peanuts on airplanes.
Some still do?
Yes. Yes,
oh, wow.
Some still do. Southwest has changed to a snack mix that doesn't have peanuts in it.
Yes, they do. That's the one I'm familiar with.
Yeah, which is a little more abundant, I would say, than a little bag of peanuts. Here's this kind of a cool story. United Airlines, for the last 2 years in Tucson, they have a thing called United Airlines Ventures. So they're financing this energy pilot plant in Tucson. United Airlines is attempting to turn things in the air and water into jet fuel. Liquid hydrocarbons created by combining nothing but water, solar power, and carbon dioxide pulled from the air, turned into a liquid, which, depending on the recipe, can do everything from create plastics to become jet fuel. This is fascinating. There's a possibility that if this works, that they will be able to use existing pollution to cut down on pollution. So, I mean, what a terrific idea that would be if it came to be. So congratulations to United Airlines, at least on the surface. It looks like that they are making an investment in the future of the planet. So good for them. I wish them all the success in the world. And if we get any further updates on this, I wonder if they give tours of that place. Wouldn't it be cool to go there and learn how they're pulling pollution out of the air and turning it into, mixing it with stuff and turning it into liquid to power airplanes?
Yeah, absolutely.
Welcome to the AI portion of the world.
This next little segment, I would like to thank Steve LaRosa, our content provider on this, for finding this in the Wall Street Journal. Mark?
This is a response to a hotel, to a guest who obviously had a few issues. Dear hotel guest, our team would love to assist you with any charges you wish to dispute on your hotel bill. We are thrilled you chose to stay with us, and we're certain there is a perfectly good explanation as to why your visit ended up costing you, quote, five times as much, end quote, as you thought it would. Our amenities program is in place to ensure you have an extraordinary experience. And as you know, the best things in life don't come free. As a valued member of our hotel family, you're entitled to understand that our resort and destination fees cover an array of services by our gourmet chefs, personal trainers, and massage professionals. These were available to you around the clock. It's certainly not their fault that you didn't pay them a visit or, in fact, didn't know they existed. It's understanding why it's upsetting to you that the daily $16 Wi-Fi fee was there, but it could have been avoided by signing up for our hotel's loyalty program, which includes free access to our lobby and complimentary Wi-Fi at the low rate of $17 a night. As for the mini bar and snack charges, it doesn't matter that you didn't eat the snacks. According to our sensors, the food items were repositioned and are thus considered consumed. That's not weird. What's weird is moving snacks around in the refrigerator and not eating any of them. I'm going to request that you stop yelling about the in-room cocktail station fee. Yes, the in-room cocktail station could be called a coffee table, but its intended use is to create craft cocktails. To maintain our exemplary standards, we must incorporate a personal care and toiletries charge. While the toilet paper roll didn't explicitly say that it cost $5, it didn't explicitly say free either. And if you would just cool down for a moment, I can give you more information about the in-room bag storage fee. You see, the cost of your hotel room was intended for the time that you're in the room. When you leave the room, someone has to protect your belongings. Henceforth, that $57 a day fee. We feel your pain, but there's no way we can waive the shared walkway fee, especially considering the amount of luggage you transported to and fro. Did you take the stairs? No. Well, then we're going to have to tack on the elevator upkeep charge. That's an additional $8 a day. We sincerely thank you for paying the amount due and are truly saddened to hear that you never intend to return. However, to make up for this experience, we wish to offer you 10% off your next stay at our hotel. We hope you'll take the time to enjoy the in-room cocktail station, of course.
That's hilarious. All right, thanks again for sending that along, Steve. All right, Mark, final word?
Dance like nobody's watching. See you next week.
All right, stay well, my friends. Next week, we'll do the Travel Guys mailbag. In the meantime, stay well.